Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Michael J. New, who is a visiting professor of economics at Ave Maria University in Florida. He earned his master's in science at Stanford University in statistics, and that will play in the discussion we're going to have in just a moment, and also his PhD at political science, also at Stanford. Dr. New, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
All right. Now, you write articles for National Review, nationalreview.com, and there was one that really got my attention, and it was all about the subject of post-abortion, what it does to women, and how, on the one hand, the media reported one thing, and on the other hand, as you yourself, knowing statistics and so forth, dug into the research, you found actually a different story. Tell us about this, and wax eloquent.
Sure. Just some background. I mean, I have a PhD in political science, and I do a lot of writing on kind of academic research as it pertains to abortion and sanctity of life issues. And one thing that I find very frustrating is how the media reports on a lot of the research. They usually just buy the spin of the editors or the authors and don't really dig into the article all that carefully. And we just had an article come out on what was known as the abortion turnaway study, where they compared one group of women that obtained abortions to another group that didn't because they were too far along gestationally to have an abortion. And what the research actually does find is that abortion does pose some serious health risks, that there is good research from this study and other studies that late-term abortions especially have a lot of health risks, both psychologically and physically. There's research that late-term abortions increase the risk of breast cancer, but this was really papered over. The media didn't really bother to report on this all that carefully.
And one of these reports that you're talking about, the Journal of American Medical Association Psychiatry, They published the latest findings from the abortion turnaway study. Did the JAMA get this wrong, or was it more reports from the JAMA story, about the JAMA story that got it wrong?
Well, I would say both. Keep in mind, I mean, the people who did this turnaway study are researchers at University of California, San Francisco. They have a research center there that has a very strong, bias in favor of legal abortion. So any study that comes out of UCSF should be looked at a little bit askance. I mean, it's almost like Guttmacher. You know, Guttmacher, up until relatively recently, was Planned Parenthood's research arm. Most of the research, or in fact all the research they're going to do, they're going to spin to favor more spending on contraception and making abortion legal. So that's kind of one thing that the media doesn't do, is they assume just because an academic group does a study, they assume it's objective, when in reality a lot of these academic institutes have very strong biases in favor of legal abortion. That's one thing. And again, sometimes research can be very nuanced, and unfortunately I think sometimes either journalists don't always have the knowledge or the wherewithal to really look at these studies critically. They just believe what the authors say. And granted, not every journalist has a background in social science, but they could reach out to pro-life social scientists. I'm at the Charlotte Lozier Institute part-time, where Susan B. Anthony lists research and education arm. We have a nice team of PhD researchers. We're happy to offer commentary on all kinds of studies, but very often we don't find that reporters often contact us directly. They just sort of buy into the spin of the abortion safe, when in reality this research does show that there's good evidence that, again, very late-term abortions do increase the risk of mental health problems and physical health problems.
Okay, one of the things that the researchers did was they tried to follow up on, what were the feelings of the women after they had the abortion. And you said there's a difference between the late-term abortions versus the early trimester abortions. And I understand that there were some women, less than 58%, I guess, that participated in the surveys afterward. Did that mean that those in the minority were just not even willing to talk about it anymore because maybe they were hurting or
yeah, I mean,
what did you find?
Essentially on paper, they didn't find big differences between women who had abortions in the first trimester and women who didn't have them. But the big methodological problem with the study that only has gotten kind of cursory or, slight media attention is that a lot of the women who had abortions couldn't be reached afterwards, that they wanted to follow up these women for 5 years, and very few women stayed with the study for 5 years. And there were incentives to stay with the study. They offered some very generous compensation. I think they were offering gift cards in the tune of $20 to $50 for answering questions. They did make it worth these women's time to answer survey questions, that answering a survey question for 10, 15 minutes and getting a gift card seems like a pretty good deal. So it just seemed to me that women who dropped out of the study, and again, they didn't really break down the categories of women that broke down, that dropped out. They just said there was a high dropout rate. That's problematic. I mean, it would just seem to me that women who don't want to answer surveys are probably women who are hurting psychologically, maybe hurting physically. For all we know, I mean, I don't like to sound too morbid. They may have passed away. I mean, they didn't really follow up as to why these women dropped out. And that was a pretty big methodological problem that only got very slight attention when coverage of the study came out.
Well, it's often reported in the media, or you get this image from, especially from those who maybe have had abortions, and they kind of want to promote the abortion message, the pro-abortion message, that this is a safe and legal procedure, and there's no negative side effects, except for maybe what the right would try to, you know, maybe induce some guilt, some religion-based guilt. But other than that, there's no real side effects. Are there women who have abortions who, expecting no side effect, in reality actually do have negative consequences, either psychologically or physically, from safe and legal abortion?
Absolutely. I mean, and there is good research on this. One of the big problems of a lot of the studies that are cited by the media is they look at a very limited time frame. I mean, usually in the very, very short term, there is some psychological relief that women who have an unwanted pregnancy, are relieved that, that they're no longer pregnant. But it's usually years down the road, sometimes the due date of the child, or sometimes the anniversary of the abortion, that's when kind of a lot of the mental health problems start to creep in. So, and there's groups that do a lot of work on this issue. That my friend Olivia Gans is director of Virginia Society for Human Life. He used to direct American Victims of Abortion. She's very eloquently spoken about her experiences. The Silent No More campaign has done a good job getting women who've regretted their abortions to share their testimonies. They'll be at the end of the March for Life, doing kind of a vigil there. So, yeah, many women, abortions hurt many, many women. And again, a lot of the studies just don't take into account that it's a longer term hurt. It doesn't necessarily, in the short term, maybe there is a quick short term sense of relief, but years down the road, that's where the regrets, seep in. That's where the psychological problems start. And a lot of the research doesn't look at this very carefully.
Hmm. Okay, your article that is really the springboard for this discussion says this at the very end. In fact, there's a couple of sentences I want to read one at a time and then have you comment on this. Interestingly, this is quoting you, interestingly, the study provides good evidence that women who obtain later-term abortions are likely to suffer psychologically. Your comment.
I mean, there is good evidence. I mean, even amongst the studies that, frankly, our opponents cite and tout, show that late trimester abortions are damaging, both psychologically and physically. I mean, back in the late 90s, there was a very famous study of the abortion breast cancer link, and it had some problems and some issues. And a lot of people on the other side claimed, ha, this proves there is no abortion breast cancer link. And it looked at a very comprehensive data set of women from Denmark. But if you looked at it very carefully, it did show very clearly that if you look at abortions in the second trimester, yes, absolutely. Second trimester abortions increase the risk of breast cancer. And it was very clear. And the media just missed this altogether. So, by and large, they focus a lot of their research on first trimester abortions. Again, some of that research is problematic. But even when you look at their studies, they do find that late-term abortions are harmful, and it gets almost no coverage.
You know, this is astounding, because you think, for example, about some of the charities. You remember the big brouhaha related to Planned Parenthood and a certain breast cancer-fighting foundation, and, should money go to Planned Parenthood or should it not? And then, at the end of the day, because of political pressure, money did end up going to Planned Parenthood to fight breast cancer. Oh, well, irony of ironies, Planned Parenthood is our biggest provider of abortion. And if there is indeed a link between abortion and breast cancer, then supporting Planned Parenthood is actually working against fighting breast cancer.
No, I agree. And I mean, I thought it was terrible the way Planned Parenthood bullied the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a private foundation. They can, do whatever they want with the funding they have. I think Planned Parenthood is probably about one of the worst places they could actually give money to. Even forgetting the whole abortion breast cancer link, Planned Parenthood doesn't even do mammograms. it really doesn't even occur to me that they're doing anything useful in the fight against breast cancer. So I thought that they were bullied. I thought that reflects very poorly on Planned Parenthood. And again, I think that people wanting to stop breast cancer have far, far better options than supporting Planned Parenthood. In fact, I think that's one of the worst things you could do if you're trying to oppose breast cancer.
Yeah. All right. Here's another quote from your article. Women who obtained late-term abortions were statistically more likely to experience symptoms of depression and anxiety than women who obtained abortions in the first trimester. Interesting. Your comment.
Again, there's just a very good body of research that shows that late trimester abortions pose health risks. The other side tries to play it down, saying that they're uncommon. But there's still a lot of women who do, for a variety of reasons, obtain abortions later on in pregnancy. And the risks need to be clear about that. And, the other side seems very interested in making sure the risks are not clear. They oppose informed consent laws. And these laws would just give women information about alternatives, information about some of the risks. And people support legal abortion, at least the main groups that do, oppose these laws tooth and nail. I think that if there is a consensus, scholarly consensus, on the dangers of second trimester abortions, which there is, people should be honest and forthright about it and not try to cover it up or confuse things. It's just very troubling that the media works in lockstep with all these research institutions, and the truth oftentimes doesn't really come out.
It's interesting, too. We live in a day of consumer reports. You're not going to buy a car until you do a lot. Well, you shouldn't. Until you do a lot of research, online. This stuff is available online. And yet when it comes to abortion with its inherent risks, they fight these laws, informed consent laws, tooth and nail. What about the consumer reports,
Well, I'll just say this. As a researcher, one thing I'll say, I try to be hopeful. And one thing I always tell my students, if the data backs you up, you will win. But there's a corollary. Winning can sometimes take a very long time. Mm. And I think what I see happening here is kind of what happened with cigarettes, that tobacco companies fought tooth and nail to try and downplay the risk of smoking. And they were able to fight aggressively and influence certain government institutions about trying to downplay the risk of cigarette smoking. But the risks were just so obvious and the data was just so overwhelming, they had to give in. Now, I hope something similar happens with abortion, that, again, a lot of people have a vested economic interest in keeping abortion legal. They work very hard to play down the risks. But I think that, as evidence accumulates, I think, we will win in the end. So it's not going to be easy. But, again, I think, good data is out there. And if we just keep making the case, I think eventually they'll have to acknowledge that the data is clearly on our side here.
Okay, now, you, differentiated in some of these sentences between first and second trimester abortions. What about the risks of first trimester abortions? Just first trimester abortions of any kind. What kind of risks are there?
I think there are risks. They're not necessarily as substantial as the risks of second trimester, but the risks are there. It's just a situation where you need more data and longer studies to kind of tease some of this out. But even with first trimester abortions, you do see an increased risk of breast cancer. You do see increased risk of psychological problems. The data doesn't necessarily always jump off the page the way it does with the second trimester abortions, but there are risks involved with any abortion procedure. I just think the risks are more glaring with the second trimester. I think it's kind of upsetting that the other side touts studies which show that second trimester abortions cause health risks, but don't really acknowledge that publicly. But I think with any kind of abortion, there's going to be health risks involved. It's just that I think you see the more glaring health risks with the ones later in pregnancy, and I wish the other side would just admit that, because, again, that's the studies. Their own studies even show this. Hmm. So it just frustrates me that they try to paper this over.
Well, I guess one of the take-home messages then of this whole discussion is the idea, don't just believe the headlines. The headlines might be misleading, or there might be a lot more in the article, the body of the article, than what's there in the headline.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the media, I think, just does a really bad job covering reporting on abortion.
Yeah.
The three themes they always come back to when it comes to reporting on abortion are that abortions are safe, that pro-life efforts are ineffective and likely to cause health risks, and that contraception programs are effective. All three of these things are wrong. Abortion poses some clear health risks. We have good data for that. Number two, pro-life laws are consistent with good public health. We see that in Ireland. We've seen that in Chile. We've seen that in Poland. There's good research out there. We need to get out there more. And third, contraception programs often don't work. I say they're ineffective at best, counterproductive at worst. But the media, again, typically buys the spin of the authors of the journals. They don't seek out pro-life experts, and it's frustrating. Sometime I think I will write a book on this topic to try to get the truth out there.
Yeah.
But it's just very frustrating seeing the spin just being bought into and seeing other points of view being excluded.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Michael J. New. His articles can be seen at nationalreview.com. Thank you, and God bless, and all the best.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.